We're beginning a new series tonight about faith. For the past 4 weeks, we've talked about healing and have dug deep into that subject. And so I do want to encourage you, as Pastor did earlier, that we do have the podcast available and you can find those messages online. It's key. It's key to get the word in you. Amen. So we're talking about faith. And so the title, if you're taking notes, you want to write that down. The title of tonight's message is Faith 101. Faith 101. We're talking about the basics of faith, the foundation of faith. Some of these things may seem familiar, but that doesn't make them irrelevant. Amen? It may seem familiar. They may seem like something you've heard before, but that doesn't mean you don't need to hear it again. Amen? Some of these things, I heard a motivational speaker say one time that repetition is the motor of learning. Okay, I'll say that again. Repetition is the motor of learning. Let me repeat myself. Repetition is the motor of learning. All right. And you should know that phrase by before the end of tonight. Some would say that if you have enough faith, you can get God to do what you want him to do. Faith has gotten a bad reputation, I think, over the years. And some people have said some things about faith and how to get things from God or how to get God to move on your behalf. And we're stuck on that. A lot of people are stuck on that. Like, how do I get God to move for me? How do I get God? And people have said, well, faith is the way you get God to move. Well, that's backwards, really. If you don't get anything else out of tonight's message other than this one statement, this can set some things straight for you. Everybody say this. Faith is a response. Faith is a response. It's not a reaction. It's not manipulation on our behalf to get God to do something for us. Faith is simply our response. Say it again. Faith is a response. Faith is a response. God isn't a cosmic genie. He doesn't grant wishes if you rub the magic lamp or if you follow a set of rules or speculation or process or any of those types of things. He doesn't respond in that way. Matter of fact, he's already moved. Our faith is a response to what he's already done for us. Okay? At its core, that's what faith is. Faith is simply a response to God's grace. Old people would say, well, what about my needs? I have needs. Don't I have to have faith in order to get my needs met? Don't I have to have faith in order to get God to answer my prayers and do things for me on my behalf? Don't I have to have faith? Isn't it? I mean, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we take these things out of context and we say, well, you have to have faith in order to get God to move for you. I understand you got needs. Who has needs in here tonight? And you understand that God is the ultimate need meter. Amen. So it would just make sense that if we want our needs met, that we would go to the ultimate need meter to meet our needs. But a lot of times we go to God as if we're a teenager trying to get spending money from our parents. Have you ever been there? Daddy, I'll rub your feet if you'll give me $20. I'm going to the movies tonight. I've never done that. I've never said that. Like, you probably, I'll wash your car. Dad, I'll mow the grass if you'll just give me some spending money. A lot of times we go to God like this and based on our earthly relationships with people. We try to manipulate even, try to twist his arm into doing something for us as if that's the way faith works. But it's not. It's not. Let me clear some things up for us tonight. Matthew 6, verse 31, Jesus says this, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? You have needs, right? Those things are represented right there. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. It says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I read a scripture earlier today. It says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So the ultimate need meter knows that you have needs. Check this out. This is from Isaiah 64, verse 24. This is going to rock your world here. In the New Living Translation, this is Isaiah was a prophet. Here, we put it up there. Isaiah 65, 24. It says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Woo! Hey, that's worth shouting about right there. I will answer them before they even call to me. You don't have to get on God's good side in order for him to answer your needs. You don't have to butter him up. You don't have to make a deal with him. God, I'll do 10 Hail Marys if you... Or God, I'll read the book of Proverbs this month. Or God, I'll pray more. I promise I'll get up and do some quiet time if you'll do this. Have you ever said prayer like that? I hope not. I have in my life, though, because I haven't known a lot about faith growing up. I didn't know a lot about how faith works. So people would tell me that you have to do this in order to get God to do that for you. It doesn't work that way. The scripture is clear right here. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. And really, he was really foreshadowing. Isaiah is a prophet. He's foreshadowing to the answer to your prayers. The answer to all your need is found in whom? In Christ. Hey, but while they're still talking about their needs, I'll go ahead and answer their prayers. What about your needs? He wants you to have your needs met, doesn't he? We don't get our needs met from spiritual arm twisting or even spiritual hoop jumping or spiritual red tape crossing. We don't get our needs met through that method. It's not about following a set of legalistic rules and procedures. It's about a response. It's about responding to what God's already done. It's about responding to what God's already provided in Christ. It's about receiving a revelation of what's already been made available to you. That's really what it's all about. It's not a matter of getting God to provide for you in the sense of he has to make something for you, especially for you, because the truth is he's already provided all that we need. It's a matter of receiving revelation of what's already been made available for us and receiving the revelation that it is for us through Christ, in Christ. He's provided everything that you or I will ever need. Do we have anybody that served in the military here before? Or has or is currently serving in the military? When you signed up for the Army, they didn't expect you to bring your own gun with you, did they? They didn't expect you to purchase your own uniform. Hey, here's a list of stuff you gotta buy. They didn't hand you a sheet of you know, requirements. These are some things that you're gonna have to pick up before you sign up here. No, they provide everything. They provide everything. Everything's been provided. You and I are part of a much greater organization, much greater body than the military, aren't we? We're part of God's army. Amen. How much more will he provide for us? If our government will provide for its soldiers, how much more will God, our Father, provide for his children? Tweet that. Hashtag it. Blow up the social space with it. Complete provision is available for every person right now. It's not something that we're trying to get God to do for us far off in the future. It's available right now. We simply respond. We respond. All right, let me convince you even further, not by just an example from the military, but by the scripture itself, by our Heavenly Father himself. What did he say through Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I'm reading in the New King James. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Oh, that's good. Multiply it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Isn't that how grace and peace is multiplied to us? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? As we know more, as we grow in the knowledge of Christ, grace and peace is multiplied to us. This is just his introduction. My goodness. Thank you, Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us what? All things. All things that pertain to life and godliness And how? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Again, it's about knowledge. It's about receiving the revelation of what He's already made available to us. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. He's made promises of His provision even. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is no secret around here, simply a reminder. And then take it a step further and investigate Romans 8:32 that says that He's already given us Jesus. And if He's already given us Jesus, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? There it is again. So let's say this. God has already provided everything that I need. My faith is simply a response to what He's already done. Isn't that good? That'll set you free tonight. That will set you free tonight, because we think that we have to live right, that we have to give enough, that we have to serve enough, that we have to pray enough, that we have to read our Bible enough to get God to do something for us. But it doesn't work that way. He's already done it. He's already provided all things for us. In the same way that He provided salvation to each and every one of us and the entire world, it's not an exclusive club. It's available for anyone who would call upon His name. In the same way that He's provided salvation to us is the same way that He's provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so it stands to reason that the same way in which you responded to salvation is the same way you respond to all of the things, other things that are included with salvation. Does that make sense? Let's put it in perspective and read Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Praise God. Thank God that I didn't have to earn it. Thank God that I didn't have to work for my salvation. Thank God that I didn't have to walk a bunch of old ladies across the street to be good enough and to stack up my good deeds against my bad deeds to earn God's approval or salvation. It was by grace through faith. What is grace? Grace is God's part. Grace is God's work. Grace is God's gift to us, it says. And then, so it's by grace and through faith. All right, through faith. So what is faith? It's our response. Faith is our part. Our part is simply response. It's a response to God's grace. By grace through faith. And we respond with our words. Okay, so a little quiz for you here. It's question and answer time here. What are some things God has provided to us? We talk about grace as an act of God's work. It's His gift to us. What are some things that are included in that? What has God freely given to each of us? Salvation, healing, peace, wisdom, provision, favor, healing. A double dose of that. What else? His word, strength, courage, joy. Ha-ha. Sound mind, life, love. Somebody said love. How about comfort, guidance, the Holy Spirit, wisdom, ability, seeing and knowing, inside information, we could say that, discernment, direction. That's pretty good, right? All good things. All good things. Jesus. And a lot of times we think, well, okay, those are the things. It's like if you could imagine a ginormous Christmas tree. I know we, you know, Christmas is a big deal in America, and it's all about the gifts that are under the tree, right? So just imagine a heavenly Christmas tree, if you will, for sake of illustration. This has no biblical precedence whatsoever, but just for your mind's eye, okay? Not likening God at all to Santa Claus, because he's not. He's the antithesis of Santa Claus. So imagine, if you will, the ginormous Christmas tree with all of these gifts underneath. How does, I don't know how it works at your house at Christmas time. I don't know if you have to, you know, pull out your wallet on Christmas morning and, you know, go up to your parents and be like, you know, this one says to Nate from mom or dad, how much is that going to cost me today? Is that how, that'd be a great idea, right? Do you go to your parents and say, well, now what am I, you know, how many chores do I need to do to earn this one? Is that how it works? I mean, maybe that's how it works in the Judd manner. I don't know. You guys have some funny Christmas traditions over there. But typically it doesn't work that way, right? It's just a free-for-all on Christmas morning. That's how it is in my house, how it used to be. It's a free-for-all. You run over there and you see, well, this has my name on it. It belongs to me. It's a gift that somebody provided for me. So I just go up to the tree and I pick it up and I go back to my seat. Or sometimes I don't even make it to my seat. So I'm unwrapping the present to find out what it is. I'm shaking it. You see the comparison here. In the same way that you have Christmas morning and you're not working or earning or toiling or trying to get Santa or parents or whoever it is that has provided these gifts under the tree. In the same way, God, through Christ, has provided all of these things, the things that you mentioned and more, wrapped up in a beautiful presentation called Jesus. He stretched his arms wide and he hung on the tree and he was buried in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose with all power and defeated death, hell, and the grave and purchased our redemption. And in redemption is included everything that we need, all that's listed here. And he's wrapped it up in a great, big, beautiful bow and it's made available. It's sitting there waiting. And not waiting for a day to arrive. Not waiting for a morning to take place. And it's waiting for you to just look at the package, recognize whose name is on this. Tom Tiller? Whose name is on this? Whose name is on this gift? Whose name is on this package? Healing. Oh, look at this. To Michelle. Wisdom. Oh, look at that. It says to Vanessa. Provision. Oh, man, that's got Jose Vega's name on it. Think about all that. It's all been provided. And what do we do to get it? We receive it. That's it. We take it into ourselves. And a receiving is not a passive response. Receiving is not a passive response. It's an active response. It's not sitting there. Because if I sit there in my seat and wait for the presence to get out, you know, to get up and walk to me, unless it's a puppy, then it's going to stay under the tree. It's going to stay where he's provided it for me. You understand? I have to actively walk up, recognize, hey, this belongs to me, pick it up, and take it unto myself. That's faith. By grace, God's free gift, through faith, my response, my receiving. How simple is that? Oh, but so many times we get worked up and we get caught up in holiness, our behavior, and that can be a hindrance to us receiving, can it? As we think, well, I can't receive this from God because I did X, Y, Z. I'm all for holiness. I think you should live holy. I believe you should. I'm all for it. But don't let your mistakes prevent you from responding in faith to God's grace. You could never do anything to earn God's grace. It's a gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because it would then cease to be about Christ if you could earn it. It would be about you. You could say, well, look what I did. Man, look how many chapters of Proverbs I read this week. And then you'll go to God and you'll start to list, you'll hold up your list of things that you've done, your good things, like, oh man, look at how much I gave to the Salvation Army. Oh man, look at how many things I did. Look at my, God, have you seen how much I've given to Good News Church this year? I can pull it up on the computer. I could show it to you right on my iPad right now. Jesus. Look what I've done. Look how holy I am. Look how awesome of a person I am. No! The moment you begin to go to God, Jesus, in that way, you've missed it. You've missed it. You've missed the whole point of what it's all about. It's not about you. Thank God. It's not about you. And I have read books and heard faith preachers teach in this way that when you need something from God, just remind Him of how much you've given. Just put Him in remembrance of the fact that you're a tither. Whoa. That's going to God based upon me, isn't it? And not based upon the finished, completed work of the cross. Let's don't monkey up faith now. Romans 10. Let's go there. This is the model, okay? Just like I said, the same way you received God's grace through faith, for salvation is the same way you receive God's grace through faith for everything else that's included. I want to read this in the Message translation, though, because we've heard it over and over again in the New King James, King James, and NIV, and all of this. But let's read it in the Message tonight, Romans 10, verse 8. The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith. Listen to this language here. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master. Doesn't that sound like a response? The welcoming word. Jesus is my master. Embracing, body and soul, God's work of doing in us what He did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting Him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right, and then you say it right out loud, God has set everything right between Him and me. I love it. This is the exercise of faith. This is how I exercise my faith. This is how I respond, is by believing in the accomplished, the finished, the complete work of Christ, what He's already done for us on the cross. Through that work, He purchased our redemption. He paid for our freedom. He provided our victory in every situation. It's the word of faith, that's what it says. The word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. It's this work of faith, this work of God, this thing that God's done for us, and our response is exactly how I enact every benefit that's available to me in redemption. The same way I got saved is the same way I appropriate God's saving work in every area of my life. I don't have to talk God into anything. I don't have to twist His arm. I don't have to behave in a certain manner. I just have to agree with what He's already said. I just have to agree with what He's already said. I don't have to talk Him into anything. I just have to agree with what He's already said. In Romans 10:9 in the NIV, the New King James, it says this word, confess. Okay, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So confess. What does that word confess mean? In the Greek, it's the word homologeo. Homologeo. It means to own, to acknowledge, to agree fully. Literally, a little translation of the word confess in the Greek here is to say the same thing. To be in agreement, to say the same thing. And so I'll say it again. I don't have to talk God into anything. I just have to agree with what He's already said. And by agreeing with what He's already said, I say the same thing that He said. I say the same thing. Say the same thing. So the model is based here on Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess blank with your mouth, and again, something that's provided for you, healing, provision, wisdom, discernment, seeing and knowing, insight, and for all of this. If you confess with your mouth and believe that in your heart, you shall be provided for. You shall be healed. You shall be wise. You know, all of these things. Faith is simply a response. It's a response to what God's already done for us. It should be just a collective sigh of relief. We're just so caught up in making it all about us, though, aren't we? Like, getting us out of bad situations, we want to rely on God. But we want to do it on our terms. Like, you know, if I'm in trouble, God, let's make this deal. And you can get me out of it. And then I'll start behaving if you'll do this. But it doesn't work that way. God's already provided a way out. Even if you're in trouble, He's provided a way out. And oftentimes the trouble that we get into is the trouble that comes from the temptation that we give into. Yeah? And he told us, when you're tempted, well, first of all, don't let anybody say that he's tempted by God, because God's not the tempter. But when a person is tempted, God will always, he's faithful, it says in Corinthians, he's faithful. He'll always provide a way of escape. He will always provide a way out. So even before the trouble had presented itself, God had provided a big exit sign and a strategy for making that exit. Amen? So getting out of the trouble isn't making a deal with God to help you out of it and then you'll do something. It's coming to the knowledge that God's already provided something here. It's looking around and saying, what has God provided in this situation? Where is my way of escape? This doesn't have anything to do with the lesson here, but this is for somebody. Where is my escape? Look at these exit signs around the room here. You see them? Everybody knows if there were to be some sort of tragedy or accident or earthquake or whatever because we're praying so hard. Earthquake, right? We would know, first of all, if that were the case, we would all stay here. But, because, man, we haven't experienced anything like this before. But, if there were something that would cause us to want to leave, we know, even if it was our first time in this building, that the lights go off, these exit signs would be illuminated, right? Red sign, and there would be some flashing lights even, I presume. At least if I created those, that's how it would work. Like, hey, come over here. Go to the light. And so in the same way, if you're in trouble, if you're experiencing temptation, if you're experiencing something that's trying to get you away from the plan of God for your life, God's already provided a way of escape. He's provided an exit for you. He's provided a strategy. He's got an escape plan. You can get out of it. Before you ever get into it, you can get out of it. Hallelujah. So faith is really simple when you look at it the way it was designed to be looked at. That it's all God's work, and my faith is a response. And really, it's a response that flows out of a revelation that I have. That it's not about me, that it's all about God gifting these things to me through Christ. And then I just open them up. Hey, that's got my name on it. That belongs to me because Jesus purchased it for me. Jesus bought this gift for me. He made a way for me to have this. And so I just come to Him with open arms and say, thank you. Thank you for what you've already provided for me. Thank you for health and healing. Thank you for wholeness in my body. Thank you for provision for this need that you already knew was going to take place and you already made provision for it years and years ago. Thank you. Thank you. What a good God. What a gracious Father. Look at these gifts. Look at this. Don't you get excited at Christmas time? We see all the bunch of the presents under the tree. Look at all these. Look at these things. Hey, look. And especially when they're kids. My kids are young. You know, I anticipate that Christmas time is just going to be just craziness at my house this year. And there'll be some snooping. There'll be some sneaking. There'll be some trying to find out and some discovery process. You follow me? Hey, who's this one for? Whose does this belong to? When you look under God's Christmas tree, just follow the illustration here, you'll find that every gift has your name on it. Every gift has your name on it. And it has nothing to do with how you've performed this year at work. Nothing to do with if you met your quota. It has everything to do with the fact that Jesus performed for you. That Jesus met the quota that you could never meet. It has everything to do with that. Nothing to do with your performance and behavior. And so you can come in, you can say, oh, I know I don't deserve this, but thank you. I know I can never earn this, but thank you. Oh, all this is for me? What a happy day. What a happy day. So it's not just about going to heaven when we die. It's about receiving what He's already provided for us here on earth. Oh, that's good. That is so good. That is so good. And Jesus showed us how this works. He showed us how this works in Mark chapter 11. You've heard countless sermons on it, but let's just rehearse it a little bit more, okay? Play it back, if you will. Go back to that scene in the ministry of Jesus. You got the DVD player. You look through the scenes. Yeah, I've watched this movie before, but let me watch this scene one more time because it's one of my favorite scenes, all right? Let's go back and watch it. Mark chapter 11, here's the situation. Jesus and His disciples are on their way to a certain city. They're just traveling on their journey. Jesus sees a tree. What kind of tree was it, people? A fig tree. And so He's thinking, man, I could really have some figgy pudding. This would really be a great Christmas message. I didn't intend to say any of that, but just imagine that it's December. You're already bundled up. Here we go. So He sees a fig tree, and He sees the fig tree that has leaves on it, and you know from history and gardening and agricultural knowledge that you have that fig trees get their fruit before they get their leaves. And so Jesus says, there's leaves on that fig tree. There has to be fruit on it because I am the ultimate gardener and I know these things. And so He goes up to the tree and He sees that there are no figs on the tree. And so He walks away huffing and puffing. Mad. No? What is His response to the tree? Well, I would say He probably is a little mad. It says He curses the tree. Not that kind of cursing. It says He cursed the fig tree by saying to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Okay? So He makes a statement. He makes a proclamation. He says some words. He says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Then He goes on their way. I'm sure the disciples are like, what was that about? Man, He really was hacked off there. Did you hear Him curse? Peter's like, oh, I knew it was okay to do that. But they go on. They go on their way. They carry out their business there. And then they come back the same way that they came. And so Peter, he sees the tree. And he sees that there's something different about this tree than there was yesterday. That the tree had withered up. And it says it withered up from the roots. It wasn't just on the way of dying. It wasn't just like the leaves had fallen off and like it was fall all of a sudden. It wasn't just that the seasons had changed. Something drastic happened. And so Peter points it out. Hey, look. The fig tree that you cursed has withered up. And they saw that it had withered up from the roots. And so Jesus responds to all this by saying four words. He says, have faith in God. I'm sure they're like, what does that have to do with faith at all? What is that? And then we know from teachings from Kenneth Hagin and various others that the better way of saying that is he's saying have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. In essence, here's how faith works. Here's how faith works. And then he says, Grayson, will you put up Mark 11, 23, if you will. All right. So he says, before this, verse 22, he says, have the faith of God. I tell you the truth, he says, if anyone says to this mountain, okay, well, what does the mountain have to do with anything? You were just looking at a tree a second ago. Well, he's making it even bigger. He's using a bigger illustration than what's in front of them because there's mountains all around. He says, if anybody says to this mountain, saying, hey, this isn't all there is to this thing. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. He who does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says, well, he will have what? He will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. And really, it's not this idea of whatever. It's whatever is in agreement with God's word. Is if I say the same thing that God says and that God has already said about me and for me and provided for me, I will have whatever I say because I'm saying the words of God. Because I'm responding in faith. Here's how the process works. I have a need. Well, I go to God's word and I see what has God provided for me by his grace. What's under the tree? I have a need. God's provided for me. He says, my God in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God, I see that you provided this need. So I begin to confess the word of God. I begin to speak it. I begin to agree with it. Say the same thing that it says. And I put my name in there. My God shall supply all Nate's needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I begin to personalize it because my name's on the package, right? My name's on that package of provision. Your name's on that package. And so you begin to personalize it. You begin to internalize it. You begin to say it. And faith bubbles up from within. And you've got your heart and your mouth connected in this whole process. That person will have whatever he says. Whatever things you ask when you pray, he goes on to say in verse 24, believe that you receive them. When? When you pray. Right then when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you will have whatever you've asked. Amen? So that's the process. That's how you tap into it. You see what's been provided. You say, hey, this is for me. This belongs to me. I enact it. I enable it. I bring it into my life. I pick up the package by my words, by saying the same thing as God's word, agreeing with his word. And sometimes you have to say it until you see it. Say it until you see it. Keep saying it until you see it. It's not believing is seeing. Or seeing is believing. I'll get those mixed up. It's the opposite of what they say. Okay, how about that? It's not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. Right. See it. See it on the inside. Right. See it on the inside before it manifests on the outside. And then say it. Say it until you see it. Right. Amen? Hope that helped you tonight. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for great provision. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Ha ha. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. When we look through your word, we look and we see all the things that you provided for us. All the things that are wrapped up for us that have our names on it. that you provided for each one of us, because you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we understand now that our faith is a response to what you've already done, what you've already provided. And so, Father, we respond to you tonight. Just right there, wherever you're at in your seat. I know you've got needs. I know you're dealing with things. I know you need help. I know you need the ultimate need meter to meet your needs. And I'm telling you, just focus in on that. Focus in on the fact that God, the need meter, has already provided for your needs to be met. And he's provided for the process for you to tap into that. And so you see these things with the eyes of faith. You see, hey, God's provided. God, you provided for that for me. I know this. You know what I need. You've already made provision even before, long before I even asked. And you answered my prayers. And so, Father, I just tap into it. I say thank you. I receive it by faith. The same way I got saved, Jesus is my master. I say, Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my provider. Jesus is my redeemer. Jesus is my counselor. Jesus is my comforter. Jesus is all that I need. And so I say it with my mouth, and I welcome you to go to work. Welcome you to set things right between us and you. Thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for these precious promises. Thank you that every need in here is met. We call them met in Jesus' name. Every financial need, we call it met in Jesus' name. Every debt paid in Jesus' name. Every need provided in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, everybody healed and whole in Jesus' name. Because that's what you provided for us. Yeah, every relationship strong and healthy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We'll give you praise and honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.